Blog Talk Radio.
Westside BBC. Westside BBC. I take a look at myself, I like what I'm seeing. I'm far from conceited, just a fly human being. I dress, talk, and smell as if I want the world. Learn to steal and that's real, once it attracts the girls. My sunshine, spend time, margaritas, with the with lime. Half baked in these D.C. streets, and if you can't stand the heat, ain't got to tell you about the kitchen. Sin City living, how you twiggin' and itchin'. Stealing for a living, cause the city, the frequency is a hell of a sin. Sin City raised the Grinch, taught him how to steal, land both sides of the fence. Gave him a gun and told the rabbit to have fun, not just county.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Their date of this episode, December 5th, 2021. It is Sunday. We're doing a special edition tonight, and it is on the family unit. And we'll be discussing the basic components needed for our children to become self-sufficient in the upcoming years and decades. And this episode is for those 18 years of age and over. And I want to greet on here our co-hosts, the one and only Che and Kruma. This episode is brought to you by frontlinecampaign.org. Definitely check out the hashtag Frontline Black News. Check out the hashtag Tangibles2021. Also, too, check out the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. Greetings there to you, Brother Che.
Hey, peace, love, light, and black empowerment.
All right, how you doing? Okay, all right. Yeah, go ahead.
I got kicked off the direct connect, so I have to call in.
Oh, okay, all right. He's sounding loud and clear, man, crystal clear. And I see we got some callers here with us. I see we got Brandy with us. I see we got Brother Isaiah with us. Got Jay and Kruma with us. Yourself. Well, good evening there to you, Brother Isaiah.
What's up, Black family? Good evening. Let's get the show started. It's a special edition.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay.
And we're
going to
talk about
unit.
The, oh, it's the family unit tonight? Okay.
Yeah, we got, so we're going to start.
Yeah, but we need the Black, strong Black family unit.
Oh, absolutely, because, see, you got to understand is that a family unit is a living creature just like all other forms of nature are. You see what I'm saying? And then you got, the paternal and maternal lineages, you know, in the family unit. And then
right.
I have to mention the fact is that you got to have the family unit in balance, and it is definitely out of balance within the Black community. You see what I'm saying? And then also, too, as we all have stated that we all know so well, is that what interferes with our family units, what interferes with our social development, what also interferes even with our personal development, is, as Dr. Mamoun Bahani has stated in her writings, you know, the ma'afa, a disaster so bad it is beyond description. Now, all these other groups, you're going to have to go out and hold your own nuts. We already got bashed in the head for you. When we talk about our plight, then the other groups, when I'm even talking about what you've been through and all of that, well, we're sure that you will take care of it. We wish you well. But what it is that we as a people right now, currently here in 2021, soon to go into 2022, are in a state of emergency. And so, therefore, we have to treat it as such to get to some righteous solutions. Now, all these other groups talk about what they've been through, their plight, things to them. Well, that's their issues, folks. You see what I'm saying? And as Brother Chase so eloquently puts it, let them go hold their own nuts. It's because, you know, we need them to cut the damn check, $100 trillion in tangibles.
Let's introduce Lady Che first.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hello?
What's up?
Hi. Hi, everybody. That's Kyle. How you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great, because I'm doing, like, multitasking, so I'm putting myself on mute, okay?
My thoughts are we can't have a strong family structure, black family structure, unless we have a strong black man and a strong black woman raising a strong black child.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, precise. You know, getting, you know, to the strong black male in a household, or the father, you know, which is the protector, which is the provider, right? And the mother is there. She's the first teacher to the babies, plus that she's the nurturer as well, too.
She's the carer.
Right. Yeah, you see, and all that there, you know, is in pretty much in all life forms, you see, is because, you know, it's that the family unit itself is a living organism.
Right.
See?
Yep.
Okay. And then all these other groups, you know, they talk about their plights, their common heritage, history, and what have you. Hey, great, beautiful, more power to them. But we're not going to sit up here and deny our own. And we're not going to sit up here and spit on our own culture, try to assimilate into the culture to that of the oppressor. You see, that's not
right.
Intelligent.
Just that's a no-no situation, right?
Yeah, you see, and you got this willful ignorance, you know, that's prevalent in the black community, you know, just like all these other groups. We're not going to tell them about the Holocaust. We're not going to tell them about the situation that happened in Armenia, you know, with their plight and things of that nature right there. Okay, because they're not going to apologize about how they feel for it, so I damn sure ain't going to sit up here and apologize and not talk about slavery of what it had to do within the creation of the mouth. As Dr. Ani had described it, you see. And once again, as we stated, you know, on StreamYard last night, you know, with the revolutionary agenda and frontline black news, we're still waiting on you Biden supporters to give us a call. And once again, the number for you to call right here on this board, and you'll be speaking directly into this studio, is 516-418-5996. Now, we understand that you feel bad because you've been bullshitted and took to the cleaners again for your vote. This is why we emphasize, you know, tangibles 2021 and hold our votes if they're not doing something specifically for us.
Right.
Right. Period.
Yeah, and then our introductions tonight was by the Blizzard, commonly referred to as the Anchorman. Hopefully he'll be joining us shortly. Also, too, we had a clip there from the OJs in 1974, Ship Ahoy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
way
definitely
back
tell him. Well, let me see. Well, Sonny, back in 1974, let me see, I think there was a guy named Heavyweight Champion who was knocking everybody out, and then he went and fought this other guy in Africa and got knocked out. And then I think there was some guy talking about he wasn't a crook, and they called him Tricky. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. You know,
I'm
something
not
like
a crook.
That. Yeah.
I'm not a crook.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how you know when you're old, folks, is when you can remember
right.
shit like that, like it was yesterday, and that was damn near 50 years ago. And this is another
I'm not
reason.
A crook.
Yeah, exactly. And then this is another reason why, you see, you know, the family is very, very important. Is because, as the ancient African proverb says, that when the elder dies, so goes the whole library. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And that's how a lot of our family history was passed
right.
down from generation to generation and what have you. But, you know, you got these ass scratchers and youngster bosses who believe that the only way for us to advance is to be a carbon copy, you know, of our oppressor.
Yep.
And that there is perhaps the biggest lie, if not one of the biggest lies that were ever told.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish we did have
people.
like a strong unit Right, we need it right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I tell you, I'm a word on my bad. Go ahead, folks.
No, I was just going to say, well, we got a caller out of the 262 area code. Last four is 5131. Okay, just press one. We'll be on. Be happy to bring you on the air. And I think I know who that is. And then, okay, and let's see right here. Yeah, okay, let me unmute him. I think I might know who that is, 262. Is that Mr. Barnes?
Thanks for joining tonight. Like
hey,
I said, peace and love
yes.
to all black people.
Oh, hey, what's up, bro?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. Just I was listening, and as usual, I get motivated to speak every time I hear you brothers, you know, discussing what's going on with our people. I just wanted to – my name is Kevin Barnes. I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes,
I am the host of Outlaw Radio.
Right.
Shout out to you all for because I know y'all be, you know, supporting us. But I do want to say this.
Right.
I feel like when we talk about the family structure, the black family structure, the one thing that I talk about a lot is the attack on black masculinity. And I feel like they've tried to ostracize and isolate black men, and they've tried to make it so that everything that we do in terms of, you know, our masculinity is negative, right? So, you know, they tell us, don't say this to your kids. Don't do that to your kids. Don't raise them this way. Don't be that way. Everything that we do is bad. So I feel like, too, and you know, I hate to say it because I don't ever mean to be divisive, but I feel like a lot of sisters buy into that sometimes, and they kind of turn their backs on us. And don't get me wrong, I know misogyny is prevalent from black men as well. I'm not saying black men don't give it like they get it to our sisters, but I'm saying a lot of times sisters have an anti-male kind of thing. And this is the only reason I say this is because I, over the last few years, I've noticed the rise of stud lesbians who come in and get women and have them under the pretense that they won't do, you know, the same things that whatever she encountered in her relationship with a male was. But it's almost like an attempt to replace us as black men. So I figure, like, what I try to teach all the young black males that I work with is it's okay for you to be a strong black man as long as you don't let it cross over into narcissism or being an egomaniac. But I really think one thing we need to do is establish that we ain't ashamed to be strong black men. We're gonna live on our principles and our morals. And I was raised by some old school Southern black men who believed the man was the man, and in the house the man was the man. So I feel like if we gonna get back to our family structure, we need to address the attack on black masculinity. Thank y'all for letting me speak, brothers.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on, Mr. Barnes. We definitely do appreciate you there. He's the principal, ladies and gentlemen, of Outlaw Radio.
You won't play with that one.
He is on Zoom, and definitely check him out. Mm-hmm. And I believe, Mr. Barnes, you come generally on Monday nights in the Central Time Zone, sir?
Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm looking to see what I'm going to do with, because I used to go Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. But I'm building some stuff, so now it's just primarily Mondays and Wednesdays from 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time until about 9.
Yes, sir. Okay, good. Noted. Okay. So as we had stated before, as that we have stated, you know, since this podcast has been on, ladies and gentlemen, and we cannot emphasize it enough, and we will continue to emphasize it, is that to have the family unit shattered is definitely, you know, self-destruction and, you know, automatic. And I believe this is what Dr. Wilson was getting into when she was talking about the ISIS papers, about the imagery of that they project on us in that cesspool called Hollywood, California. You see what I mean? You know, as we said it before, and of course, you know, people know how we feel about it. And definitely, folks, check out our group pages on Facebook, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, Black Men Working on Solutions, Pan-African Economics and Politics. Check out the hashtag Tangibles 2021. Check out the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. Also, too, the hashtag we recently created called Biotechnical Barbarianism.
Right. I was going to say this about the Black Family Structure.
Yeah. And then keep in mind is that you got to look at the influence of what you're getting from social media, media period, you know, the movies, the news, and all this old type of shit. You see, and all these apps and all that, you know, where they're systemically are dumbing down our youth, and this is why they don't want to have critical race theory discussed. So this platform, hey, we're going to bring it to you.
Hey, we're going to bring it on the wall front. And the
white chaser.
Right.
Yes, sir. You see what I mean? You know, and you know,
yes,
people can call.
And what did it? That is.
I want to touch on Brother Barnes' part about them basically wanting to effeminize us. It's okay for white men to be masculine, but when you're black and you're masculine, then you are toxic. So I say I'm radioactive.
Yeah. Right, I thought that sure I'm radioactive, so because I'm a strong black man, so sure, nobody can call me toxic. So and sure, and that's how we are supposed to be strong black
men.
Yeah,
that's the way you're supposed to be.
Yeah, but you see, that's just it, though. What you have to understand is that the American ethos of black men in America was he was never to be a man. He was either a boy or he was an uncle, like Uncle Ben on the rise, like Uncle Tom and Uncle John Ross and all this old type of shit, you see.
Yep.
So he was never supposed to be a man without doing anything positive.
Oh,
you're
up there, too, because Bambos and all that. Names.
Yeah, all that shit. You see, you know, keep the black man, you know, demasculated, and now they're pushing to keep him effeminized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so forget about the crack epidemic done in 1980s. They put more black men in jail because, you know, and we've been out there.
Oh, yeah, the mass incarceration. Yeah, you would see that's all part of it.
Provide for the family, you know. Like, it's crazy.
And
they can't even find no good jobs right now. So it's a struggle, you know, for them to find like real good jobs, because if we had been on mass incarceration, they put that on their record and often them to get a job. You know, hard for them to provide.
Okay, well, that's just it, though, Brother Isaiah. Everything you said is absolutely correct. That's why it's up to us, you know, to get innovative, coming up with ideas for businesses and enterprises to put our own selves to work, because we still got to eat. We still got to wear clothes. We still got to make a living. You see what I mean? And it would be nice if we can go off into some federal court or with some legislation at the federal level that you ain't going to get about getting all the rights back to all those patents that were stolen from black entrepreneurs and business developers and inventors in the 1800s. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, we invent everything. Our ancestors invent everything.
Yeah, you see, and this is why they don't want to give us no reparations, is because once
and
they
no
realize of all what they owe us, you see, you know, which is very astronomical, you see, then there'll be a power shift. But analyze this power shift of what I'm talking about, since we're dealing with the black family unit, particularly with the males, the father, you know, providing for the family and taking care of the family. Let's look at something called the NFL, the NBA. It's playoff time is coming up right now, ain't it, fellas?
Yep.
And I know, Brother Jay, I know my Raiders still got to play your Broncos.
So, there's going to be a summer tight
last game. No, Brother, the Broncos and the Raiders, man.
Right.
That's a classic AFC West rival for 50 years, man. You know, the Raiders and donkeys don't dig each other, man.
I'm sorry to say this,
we don't get along with the Raiders. We need to get along with the
Yep, sure. I'm sorry to say this, Brother Jay. I'm sorry to say this to Brother Jay, but I think you're on team going to lose against the Raiders. I'm sorry to say that.
Look, that's a classic, Brother Isaiah. That is a classic AFC West rivalry, man, that's been going on for 50 years, man.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, if the Raiders were in Oakland, Los Angeles, back in Oakland
right.
or in Las Vegas,
back
man, that's going to be a classic
Vegas, yeah.
AFC rivalry forever.
So,
and in Denver, they got
my,
officials.
The Ravens had the CC on the tag on Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there used to be our rivals with them.
Ravens to them.
Oh, okay, that's out of Brother Isaiah's neck of the woods. But as we all like football, right? Now, imagine everybody who loves football, right? Now, wouldn't it be something, ladies and gentlemen, if on, let's see, the early part, tail end of December, or early part of next month when the AFC Championship game comes on, that every black player at the last minute says, you know what, guess what? We're not suiting up today.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Right. So they should, like, sit around, like, just say, we're not suiting up for nothing. We ain't playing no games. We're not playing no preseason. We're not playing no Super Bowl. Nothing that they should just line up and say, like, hey, we're not playing today.
But it would have to be done on a collective basis, you see, and that's what men folk deal with, you know, providing for the family, making a living for the family. You see what I'm saying? Now, as Brother Ramel was saying is, you know, when him and I was discussing this episode, you know, that family's got to come first. Love and encouragement of each other, you see, and watch out for each other. And this is basically the foundation of any society.
Mm-hmm.
City, state, country, kingdom, monarchy. See, and then on top of that, we should be controlling, you know, our resources, you know, on the continent and agriculturally.
Yes, our continent is being destroyed right about now. The damn with China.
Well, see, you're right. Well, you see, that's because you got all of these neocolonists over there, man, that who was working with the Belgians,
right.
British,
and
French
so
and shit. And it's just
right.
like, and what has happened is that the Chinese that took over where they left off, you see.
Right.
I mean, man, how the fuck, man, the damn head of state, man, is going to mortgage the damn airport and what was it, state in Nigeria, I believe. Yeah, he mortgaged the fucking airport.
On.
To China and defaulted on a loan, so China took ownership of the
China
fucking airport.
Took ownership on the right, so they took ownership on the all the way out there.
Well,
come
see,
on, man.
Well, once again, no, you see, this is why you know this neocolonialism, you know, must go. You see, so now getting back on to the maternal aspects. In the family unit, you know, how moms is the nurturer of the kids, you know, keeping the family together, spiritually, morally, because she's the first teacher, you know, of the family unit, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So quite naturally, of course, what she's going to come into is the quality of the children's education, you see. And as you know, as we stated on this podcast all along, that, you know, is to get our children up out of these damn public indoctrination centers.
Please
because
do.
In the public indoctrination centers,
school.
This is where, here's where the big three comes in at, gangs, drugs, police contact.
Man,
rather if it's Baltimore, rather if it's Milwaukee, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, or Oakland.
My brother, Chewbacca.
Yes, sir.
If I can, I really love the fact that you use the word indoctrination, because I've tried to explain to a lot of black people that racism and discrimination requires an indoctrination process in which you make the victim feel or think a certain way. And we have undergone that indoctrination in this country. But it's really programmed. It's deprogramming, and a lot of us are deprogrammed by it because we are under the belief that we have to love everybody when we don't even love ourselves. You can't love anybody if you don't love yourself.
See, that's the part that gets put in the script, see.
So as a black person, whenever I do something that's pro-black, it's considered hostile. It's looked at with scrutiny. And I keep asking them, how come it's bad for me to like me?
You know, just because I'm pro-black don't mean I'm anti-white. But they've created that kind of, they've created that for us. So every time you get a black man who says, well, hold on, I'm worried about my people. I want to know what we got coming. I want to know where we at. They say, oh, he's bad. I mean, you look at what they do to a leader like Farrakhan, or historically what they've done to all our leaders who've spoken about our solidarity, assassinated them, ostracized them, all these kinds of things. So I love that indoctrination, because if you go to public school and they teach you about you, they teach you about America. And they just want one size fits all. But it doesn't work like that. So I want black people to understand and ask themselves. We have to ask ourselves. How much of this indoctrination have I ingested? I did a show one time called The Coon and Me. I did a show called The Coon and Me, in which I looked at all of the things that I've kind of eaten up, you know, when dealing with my own blackness in this country. I think we all need to do that.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. Because, see, because you got to look at, see, the thing is, man, when it comes to becoming conscious and dropping this knowledge right here, see, you have to spoon feed this stuff. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because over the years, man, that I've been with it, you know, the course of my lifetime, all that I've witnessed in our history, as Brother Che will tell you, and things of this nature right here, how they went through in the mid-70s into the 80s with that disco era, then going off into the crack epidemic era that went off into the gangster rap era. And this is where degradation came from, glorified going to prison, shooting up the neighborhood, you know, excuse the term, kill a nigga, shoot a nigga, fuck a nigga, you know, this type of shit. You see, and as Dr. Wilson said, and as Cicely Tyson had pointed out, you know, in their writings, of Hollywood perpetuates this shit intentionally, and they did it, do it over long term.
Right.
See, that what I look at the thing is that, well, see, that's what I mean by long-term, Brother Isaiah. You see,
right.
You know, like they tell you Walt Disney, all the classic movies from Walt Disney, but they don't sit out there and tell you the racist shit.
Right.
Okay, but however, they
reason.
Don't tell you the racist shit that Walt Disney has put out there. Uncle Remus walking down the highway in the South, broke-ass, hobo-ass-looking motherfucking zippity-doo-dah, zippity-dah. Got plenty of nothing, and nothing is plenty for me. Man, you kiss my ass is what you do. See, but however, but you don't want to talk about guys like Newton, although Newton had a lot of controversy in himself. And then those, before you check out the like page,
they're
going to
take away all that in the mountain history books and the fucking dominations.
See, that's why it's up to us. You see, Brother Isaiah, that's why it's up to us. Just like I said when I did the live, when I did the video from the Huey P. Newton statue memorial at over there in West Oakland a few days back. That's why I did it, is because, see, that's the knowledge they don't want you to have. Just like what they were saying is in the 10-point program about the educational institutions. See, you know, what was it? I'm just paraphrasing that we got to know about ourselves so we could have an idea of how we fit into this social order and control our own economical resources within the black community.
Well, I think people need to understand, first of all, Huey P. Newton was a genius, but he was very complicated. You show me a simple genius. Most geniuses are complicated. That's what makes him genius.
Oh, yeah, well, Newton had issues. He was a controversial figure.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, you are correct about that, Mr. Barnes. Yes, he was. But that still does not take away his contribution to our history, like Dr. King. There was a lot of controversy about Dr. King, but that still does not take away from his contribution to our history, just like there was a lot of controversy about X. That still does not take away his contribution to our history. So I'm looking at this here in a collective manner, to whereas in the public indoctrination centers, they're going to tell our children that the only way for them to think of it as a collective is to be inclusive with all these other groups that don't give a fuck about us, but they sit there and have capitalized off of us greatly, politically, economically, socially, financially.
Man,
you see what I'm saying?
You know, we have a very complicated joke that we always say about Martin Luther King, because his name is actually Michael King. So we always say that Martin Luther King was his rap name. That's what we say on Outlaw Radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, but still the initials MLK still apply, you know?
Right.
And then also, too, is that these, with this critical race theory, and definitely, ladies and gentlemen, check our archives on our shows we did a few weeks back, a one part and a second part on critical race theory. The knowledge they don't want our people to have of the brutalization of the transatlantic slave trade when we were brought here to these shores. And into this hemisphere. They don't want us to have knowledge of that.
Critical race theory is a direct attack on black intellectualism. Like, it's that same old argument between W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. Could we be allowed to be in the literature? Could we just be farmers and plumbers and masons? That's the first heavyweight rap battle. So that's always been a fight for, like, would black men be intellectual? Like that's if you're a black intellectual, you're controversial. So,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About that,
well, mate. Yeah, go ahead.
They hate a smart Negro.
Oh, yeah.
Hate it with a
no,
pack.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Yeah, well, you know, when they put these, motherfuckers up like Tim Scott, man, Kamala Harris, you know what I'm saying, where they handpick, you know, the so-called black leaders and things like this here for, you know, mainstream politics and the media and what have you. See, we got to raise our conscious level on that on a collective basis. I mean, let's be real, black family. It's bullshit. What they're doing is that they are still pissing on our heads and still telling us it's rain. And it's our youth who is our futures that's going to sales, because this path of this nosedive that we as a people are in commercially, economically, physically, with this COVID shit, Omicron virus, chromosome virus, I mean, this shit is sounding more and more like off of Star Trek.
Yeah, it does.
And we ain't got time to be worrying about these other motherfuckers, man. What it is, black families, that we are in a state of emergency.
We need to be under a straight up emergency plan, because we are under siege,
right.
Black family.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
And the sad part, a few of our own people just don't get it, and they just don't see it. They just too blind to see it.
No, it's not that they're too blind to see it, Brother Isaiah. You're close. You're real close. But what it is that the wool has deliberately been pulled over the eyes of our youth in their formative years, going through first, second grade, kindergarten, going through the damn public indoctrination centers. They say this is where all the mental locks and chains and keys start coming in at.
Yep. Right.
You know what I did want to add too, though. When you say that, I feel like you're talking about my generation, because I'm just a little bit younger. So I actually went to school in the '80s. You know, crack epidemic was, you know, from 10 to 20 for me. But I do want to say that we talked about hip hop, and we got to give credit to hip hop, because in my generation, a lot of us learned about Malcolm X and Martin and Dewey and Panthers. They learned about that through hip-hop. They learned about that through X-Clan.
Right, then they changed the narrative on it.
Yeah, so we can't totally discredit hip-hop. I do understand the impact of gangster rap, but I will also tell you this. It came out during my formative years, and I was all in with it. I ain't gonna lie to you. And that was me being lost in the streets, and then a lot of those songs was my answer.
I was
this
the
day.
Same way.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not putting it all down, but I'm just looking at the evolution of how, you know, in my lifetime, of how it went from R&B, right, Okay, so then what happened was in the 80s, you know, after the R&B, then came the disco era. So this is the mid-70s going into the late 70s and the early 80s. So now with the disco era, you got, you know, all these groups, you know, that was, you know, who are non-black playing R&B all of a sudden. And then a lot of the writers of the...
Yeah,
a lot of the writers.
Hip-hop came up during that time.
Hip-hop came after the disco era. You see, it came up after the disco era of the late 70s and the early 80s. Okay, so then what had happened was when... yeah, go ahead.
With Cool Herc playing them dance parties, them block parties.
We had the big old boomer system. I have to throw this in because my brother Shabaka, I know that's your era, but you forgot one important era. You forgot about funk. You forgot about George Clinton.
Funkadelic. He's right about that. The mothership connection.
Look, the funk freaked your mind. Clinton was talking about, hey, we're aliens. We're not even from this planet. Listen to how we play with the sound. The funk era is the reason why hip hop came.
The funk is hip hop too, right? You see how many times that simple
funk. The reason why hip hop became hip hop because. The funk was everything. It was blues, jazz, everything we ever created. Gospel,
everything
blues, R&B, rock.
You gotta
be a real intelligent dude to listen to Parliament, to listen to George Clinton, to listen to that P-Funk.
Yeah,
I like the cartoon. My favorite one is Motor Booty Affair with Sir Noel standing on the joint with the funk player.
I remember that.
He said the funk not only removes, it soothes, right? So, I mean, this brother wrote Chocolate City. Come on, man.
Chocolate City is Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, you got to wear your sunglasses. That's the law right here. You got to wear your sunglasses.
Gang it on you.
I remember that there very well. But then what had happened was when we had started losing our cohesiveness, you see, that started prying apart, you know, the post-disco era. Then came in the drug epidemics of the 80s, and that really killed it. You see? And then we led to the mass incarceration. What's that?
It took those musical training, musical theory classes out of public schools. So we weren't taught instruments. What we had was a turntable and a sampler and a keyboard. So those are the instruments that we play. Because I don't know how to play the tuba. I don't know how to play the drums. But I know how to work this turntable and use breakbeat to make this shit make sense. So,
The truth, brothers, I don't even have no turntables. I got on the musical instruments right in my room.
They took it out in the 90s, Brother Barnes. They took it out in the 90s. When I was in school, I played in a band. I was in band class and stuff. I played the clarinet. They start.
I got those instruments in my room. You know.
You're the modern day Jimi Hendrix, Brother Isaiah.
I try to be right. As I play all kinds of shit.
However, as we were saying here, and we've got 15 minutes left, and in about 5 minutes we're going to go off into our closing comments. And we definitely appreciate Mr. Barnes, you know, for calling in. And he's the principal over there, folks, at Outlaw Radio. He's over there on YouTube. You know, definitely check him out. You know, he has a Zoom channel going on, Zoom feed. Also, too, he's got a great staff over there as well, too. So definitely check out Kevin Barnes. Okay, but still, though, with the family unit being the basis of the community unit, and the community unit is the basis of the nation, is it not? I mean, in, under universal law and principles. You see what I mean? Okay, but all these other groups, that when they come to the United States, open up their businesses and what have you, they pretty much start off in the black community, you know, but they marginalize us, like as Brother Chase so well puts it, labeling us as people of color, labeling us as minorities, you know, in vague terms, as opposed to dealing with us specifically. So they marginalize us, and then the public indoctrination systems enhances this marginalization of the black child or the black man and woman as they're coming up in age in their formative years as well, too. So this is where this gang activity comes from, in and out of jail, narcotics usage, you see what I'm saying? Alcoholism, poverty, you know, all of it, you know. And it's designed
They created, the white supremacists created the economic deprivation.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the non-human activities is economics. So the whole purpose of slavery was to now distribute 99% of this country's wealth into the hands of the white dominant society. So they purposely created it. It was an experiment. And now they want to exterminate the subjects.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. You see, but at the same token, or just like how you had stated, Brother Che, about our missing children that we're going to be doing Tuesday. And we did, in our archives, we did have an episode on that. So we're going to ask our listeners and those who are...
Yeah,
because you've been with us since day zero, Brother Isaiah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So what we're going to do is, folks, we're going to be following up on that, is because a lot of our children have been coming up missing. And then also, too, I came across a little bit of information about how some of these foundations, either out of Europe or the U.S., are going over there, you know, trafficking these children off of Africa. And then quite naturally, of course, you know, the, a lot of our missing children, 64,000, I believe. That needs to be checked on.
64,000 black women.
Yeah.
4,000
black
women. Yeah, folks,
don't forget our sisters
be missing too. Yeah.
You know, oh, absolutely. Well, see, this is why we got to teach our children to protect themselves. More reason to get them about the public indoctrination centers. You see?
Yeah.
And then also, too, want to talk about this sick bastard who went and shot up the school. Who was talking to his counselor about 2 hours before he did it. And had his dad's gun. And so from what I understand, you know, is that the state arrested the parents, you know, as well, too, for involuntary manslaughter, you see. So that's another damn reason right there. And should be a very significant one why we don't need our children, you know, caught up in that type of bullshit.
Right.
Because we are in a state of emergency, and we are in a state of a long-term emergency, economically, politically, commercially, educationally. Yeah.
For centuries.
You see?
Well, I mean, yeah,
and then, of course, you know, the high amount of that we have of our people being homeless coming up into the winter months, you see?
Right.
And then also, too, dealing with the family unit right there. We'll
somebody
watch out for each other.
There's a lot of feedback.
There's some feedback in the background, too. I hear it, too.
Yeah, it sounds like they got components that are close to each other. Yeah. Oh, it's gone.
It's gone. I think we got like 10 minutes left.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to start my closing statement, then turn on to you, Brother Che, then Mr. Barnes, and then Brother Isaiah. So my closing statements, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just simply pointed out here on this special edition of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced here on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely follow our group, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook. Definitely check out Frontline Black News. You can follow us on Twitter at Shabaka EXP. So we're going to be doing our show Tuesday night as well, too. Definitely check out us on Twitter and Facebook and social media later on tonight and first thing tomorrow of the exact topic of what we're talking about. Okay, Brother Jay, leave it up there to you, sir.
Okay, yes. Thank y'all for calling in tonight. Yes, Black family, it's up to us to bring the Black family back together. Ain't nobody going to do it but us. We have to do it. It starts with our youth. We have to create strong men and women that produce strong children.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. Right. Strong Black children, strong Black straight children. That's the only way we're going to get out of this Black family. So it's up to us. We cannot go to the oppressor for this or anybody else. We have to look at within ourselves and to ourselves in order to get this accomplished. Please check us out on Frontline Black News on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also check out the Revolutionary Agenda on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And check out frontlinecampaign.org whenever you get a chance. And thank y'all for calling in tonight.
Likewise.
Brother Isaiah, you're closing.
Okay. Each one, teach one. We all got Black family. Time to come together as one. Unity is the key of Black everything, Black love, Black power. We need to come together like this. We're in a state of a crisis, and we need to come together. Come on, y'all. Ain't y'all tired to seeing the same old narrative? Y'all tired to seeing the same routine? Call in and, you know, call us sometimes. We'd like to hear from you, Black family, from Shabaka Black Experience. And every Tuesday, or sometimes we only do Sunday edition. So make sure y'all call in and, you know, call. And Black power, Black love. I love y'all. Peace.
Hey. Hello?
Yeah.
What's up, brother? I want to say this to the people. Freedom is a machine. And if you understand machines, you know there's many cogs and there's many different gears. And sometimes you just have to figure out what gear you are. Because you can't do it all. Whatever you're good at, do that. If you're a nurse, if you're an educator, if you're an intellectual, you do that. And you do that based on the principle of us getting over. And then this machine will flow so smoothly. It'll be something that will change the world. My brother talked about all Black players. Now, I live in Packer country, baby. It's Bear Week. We about to play the Bears, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up here, that unifies us because whether you pro-Black or not, you want the Packers to win. So, but I'm saying, know your role, man, and be good at it. You know, figure out where you at. Don't try to do everything. If you all about just cooking, just cook. If you about speaking, speak. If you about writing, write. Right? It's about us knowing how we fit into this machine. Freedom is a machine. Black freedom is a machine. The days of the single leader are gone. It's gonna take a process because we get a consortium. We need to have unification. Regardless of whatever ideology, religiously, scientifically, civically that they've given you throughout this, my brother called it an indoctrination process, you have to reject all that and say, what can I do to contribute? Always, if no criticism of the Black community outweighs your contribution, your ass is a coon. Peace and love, man. Thank y'all for having me on, man.
Peace and love.
Anytime, brother. You can call it anytime on Tuesday.
We got another caller out of 707. I don't know who it is. Lady Che drops.
I say you want to send me in on there real quick, or we're about to close out.
We got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Caller out of 707. Last four. 6390. What's your name and where are you calling from?
You on the air. They probably
out
calling
707.
They probably
last
just calling
four.
Just to listen.
Supposed
to push the
water.
Do
they understand they're supposed to push the water if you want to talk?
Yeah.
They're
talking about
that. I don't think they get it. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to end the show.
Alright.
I don't know if that was a troll calling in or what.
They probably calling just listening, or, you know, just
fucking CIA listening in. That's what I
mean. No, they're trying to be so serious.
I'm just listening.
Yeah, I understand what that's going on. Fans, they're with these devices being closed. They can't keep the feedback on
the
phone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and you did. That's why
I am
sorry about that.
All right, but Isaiah, thank you for tuning in.
I like COVID, man.
Thanks, brother. Stock Take Experience Enhanced. The air date of this show was December 5th, 2021. And we're going to go out with Malcolm X, the house in a row.
Yep.
Peace.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away, let's escape, let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here." Thank you.
I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You're nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa.